apostle. I'm sure he's still having tea. Yes. Ngicela ukuthi ungithekele ubaba manje angena sizoqala ke. Rural development. Welcome. You know, we thought that we should test the waters if a train can run without a head, but you hear, you welcome the head. Because we heard that the DG decided to retire midstream. But it's fine, you hear. It's clear that it's not a one-person department. Is the gentleman behind you from National Treasury? You're part of the team, but you believe in separate development. Well, okay. Well, I know members of parliament as backbenchers. I don't know that they are backbenchers with the officials, but if they are, well, you're welcome to our world. Nico, where is the National Treasury?
Chairperson, I was asked to just come and sit in and report back on any issues that may be raised here. So I'm the only one from National Treasury present at the meeting.
No, fine, but no, it's not fine, Nico. You know, maybe we need to have a conversation together, because our understanding is that those people in National Treasury would deal specifically with certain departments, must be around when we deal with them. We don't want them to say, no, National Treasury didn't do this, and we get a response from National Treasury some other time. We want to resolve matters here. This forum is meant to resolve, to unblock blockages that are there, and we can only do that if we all represent it around the one table. But be that as we may, we may continue. Thank you very much for coming. We will be told who is leading Madam Khalmel. Yes, Madam Khalmel. We will be told who is leading the delegation. We know that this is a women's month, but some people feel threatened. You know, the reason for inviting you is we're busy with the fourth quarterly report, so it's around the expenditure. We do know that the report that we have in front of us may not be the final, as it's called, the figures. But you, the final thing will come from the annual report. But what is important to us is that the fourth quarterly expenditure, or in fact, each quarterly expenditure, is signed off by the accounting officer. So then we assume that at the time of signing off, everyone is saying, as far as I'm concerned, the information that has been made available to National Treasury is correct. You have your... What we regard, you're now the rural development and land reform, but the main program, when I'm using main guardedly, to us is your land reform. program, which we noticed that there's an understanding. Previously, we have had discussions around this, but we thought that we should allow the department opportunity. You know, I'm sure we haven't had this kind of interaction for some time. But sometimes if you leave it too much, less people forget, you know. So I would have loved if the chairperson of rural development and land was here. But I think he was not informed. But I also saw that there was some confusion in the order paper because there was supposed to be a portfolio committee this morning. But I must thank him in his absence for prioritizing this one. So in your land affairs program, we noticed that you have spent 86%. And our understanding is that you had a target. We are aware of what has been said, the current discussion in terms of whether this 30% can be reached or not reached by 2014. But that is another issue. To us is that people come to Parliament beginning of the year, present their strategic plan on the basis on which basis we approve the budget, because you say to us, this year, this is what we want, we're going to do, and these are the resources that we need to do that. Then we approve the resources. We know that very soon people will be coming for adjustments. We have, I'm sure as you may recall, passed the Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act, which gives a little bit of muscle now than before to Parliament, in order for Parliament to be able to approve budgets and whether it's amendments, because that piece of legislation requires that members of Parliament must be, or Parliament must be satisfied that you have utilized fully the resources that, or you have the capacity to utilize the resources that are given to you. So, would perhaps like to hear your explanation as to why is it that you were not able to utilize these funds usefully. I mean, I know that in many fora that you have appeared, you have always indicated that this money is not enough and whatnot. But for Parliament to be convinced that the budget is insufficient is when you can spend it fully. And then we will be convinced then that no, it means that the budget then, if you're asking for the budget to be raised, we can support it. But if you can't utilize it fully, then it's difficult for Parliament to support that. Okay, I am. Yes, rural development. I know, perhaps give you the benefit of doubt on the rural development. in that you're crawling, you're trying to get there, but with land reform, we really would like to hear and see if we can get the right, the explanation that you're going to give will be acceptable to us. Maybe at this stage, I should know if ANC members, maybe at this stage I should allow the, are you leading the delegation? Okay. Madam Mahalmele, over to you and your team. I don't see, but you tell us, the commission, land commission. I don't see, it's fine, but it's your business. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the very warm welcome. And also recognizing that this is the month for the women. We salute you for that. I will ask the team to introduce themselves, and I will just introduce myself. I am Nozizwe Mahalimele, the acting DG for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
DG, we could have done this meeting on the plane there that you were traveling on together. We didn't tell you were coming to this meeting, but it's fine. Let's see. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Protas Pili. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform.
Good morning. My name is Mduduzi Shabane, DDG for Land Reform.
Good morning. My name is Leona Archery, Acting DDG Rural Infrastructure Development.
Good morning. My name is Irene Singo, Executive Manager, Financial Management.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth Mnisi, Finance Manager in the Office of the Chief Land Claims Commission.
Morning, members. My name is Vuse Mahlangu, Executive Manager, Strategic Land Reform Intervention.
Good morning. My name is Subusiso Kamete, the Acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Clayton Hendricks, for the Green Liaison Officer for the Department. Thank you.
I'm sorry, you said you are Mr. Masham. No. Next to you.
Kamete.
Well, I'm sorry. I said that I know the gentleman. Mr. Kamel. Now, clearly, this department is Hollywood. There are actors and actresses. And, they say if it is hot in the kitchen, stay outside. It's fine. It's only those who can make it in the kitchen will remain there. Okay? Madam Mohamed, we are in your hands.
Okay, no, thank you, Chair. No, just for the record, both the DG and the CLCC left at the end of July. They both resigned. So this is why we just have those two persons now acting, including myself. But we are busy filling up those posts. The one for the DG has already been advertised. The one for CLCC will go out this weekend. And just to say then, Chair, also, that it's been our tradition in the department to spend more than 99% of our budget. Just last year, we managed only to spend 92% because of the new department and the new mandate. We're busy trying to conceptualize it and to restructure. And now that we know what it is that we have to deliver on in terms of the new mandate, we will try and go back to our tradition. But then I'll hand over to the CFO to take us through the expenditure and what caused the under expenditure this year. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll be presenting the fourth quarter expenditure report for the year ended 31 March 2010. Can you hear me now? Okay. You can hear me now. Okay, that's fine. Okay, on my first slide, I'll be showing you the spending per economic classification. The department, the budget allocation of 6.39 billion allocated to it for the year ended 31 March 2010. Part of that, the original budget was 6.1 billion that was allocated to the budget, but during the adjusted estimate, an additional 292 million was allocated to the department in November 2009. Spending per program, as you can see there, out of our budget of 6.39 billion, 652 was allocated to administration, 88 million was allocated to survey and mapping, 140 million was allocated to cadastral surveys, 2.3 billion was allocated to restitution, 2.7 billion was allocated to land reform, 64 million was allocated to spatial planning and information, 7 million was allocated to auxiliary services and other services, and 252 was allocated to the new program, is rural development. If you look at our spending to date, out of that budget spending, you can see that administration spent 88% of its budget, survey and mapping spent 96% of its budget, cadastral survey spent 90% of its budget, restitution spent almost all of its budget, 99%. You've got land reform spending 92%, special planning and information spending 65%, auxiliary services and other services spending 95%, and the new program, which is rural development, spending 25%. You see that our underspending is 84.4% of the budget, which converts to 534 million. The program which I have highlighted in red there, those are the major underspending program, which jointly account for 7.6% of the underspending. And those highlighted in red will be explained further as I go through the presentation. The reason for underspending, the main reason for underspending related to the change of the mandate of the department, as the acting DG has indicated. The department was formerly known as Department of Land Affairs. So the mandate of the department was extended to include rural development, hence the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform. Rural development program and activities had to be conceptualized by the department, and a new structure that is responsive to the new mandate had to be developed and approved by DPSA. New funds had to be requested from National Treasurer for the new programs and activities in line with the new mandate. And the department also had to reprioritize its budgets to accommodate the change mandate. This resulted in a change in the strategic plan of the department. 292, mainly for rural development, was allocated later in the financial year in November during adjustment estimate. All this development and changes resulted in little time left for the department to roll out its new activities and to spend allocated funds by the end of its first financial year, which is 31st March 2010. Major underspending program, which only accounted for 7.6% of the 8.4% underspending that I indicated, is administration, land reform, and rural development. For the above reasons, the department has applied for the unspent fund to be rolled over to the new financial year, so that they will spend in the forthcoming year once we enroll our activities for the new programs. The breakdown of underspending, you can see there the major underspending program, which is administration, accounting for 1.2% of the total underspending, land reform accounting for 3.4% of underspending, rural development accounting for 3%, and the rest of other programs just accounting for less than 1% of the underspending. Administration, you can see there the breakdown of administration expenditure. We've got 633 638 million allocated for current payment and 13 million allocated for transfer and subsidies. You can see the spending, it's 88% was spent of the 638 million and 92% was spent for 13 million. And the reason for underspending is that under transfer and subsidies, the underspending on transfer and subsidies attributable to less than anticipated payout of leave gratuity to employees. Under current payments, to reduce recruitment costs, the department stopped using recruitment agencies and decided to build internal capacity for recruitment purposes. Vacant posts were not filled, and this also had an impact on personnel-related expenditure, such as traveling, stationery, communication, etc. For land reform, the budget for land reform is 2.7 billion. You can see 350 million is allocated for current payment and 2.4 billion is allocated for transfers and subsidies. The spending for the year was 91% of the 350 million and 99% for the 2.4 billion. And the reason for underspending is that under transfer and subsidies, an amount of 100 million was availed to restitution program in November 2009 to help it reduce its backlog. However, only 100 million could be shifted to restitution, and the 400 million remained with land reform. Thus, there was little time left to spend the entire 400 million by land reform. Under current payments, vacant posts were not filled, and this also had an impact on personnel-related costs, such as traveling, communication, stationery, etc.
This reason, it does, well, is it, this money, this 500 million was made available during adjustment?
Yes, was transferred to restitution during that period.
No, I don't understand the language. Was it this part of adjustment, during the adjustment period, or transferred from one program to another? It was transferred. I mean, the language, you know, it has implications. Now, just use the language that we understand. Just clarify this thing.
Okay, the 500 million was shifted from land reform to restitution. But in terms of us shifting that money, there were some PFMA requirements that we had to do. But unfortunately, we could only transfer 100 million out of the 500 million. So then the 400 million had to go back to land reform for spending. But when they received that 400 million back, there was little time for them to spare. There are limits, like for the limits, like there's 8% limit that so much you can transfer. Under rural development, under rural development, you have a total budget of 252 million. 1.4 million was for current payment, and 250 million was for payment for capital assets. And the spending to date, you can see under current payment is 59%, under payment for capital asset is 25%. And the reason for underspending, as we said, that rural development is a new program that was created with the change of mandate of the Department of Land Affairs. Allocation for this program was only received in November 2009, and there was little time to set up the structure of the program and to fill up the newly created posts within the program and to conceptualize the comprehensive rural development program. The reason for other programs that accounted for less than 1% underspending, the reason when you look at survey and mapping, the reason also is vacant posts not filled and failure to attract and retain appropriate incumbents due to unattractiveness of salary packages and delays in implementing the OSD and the job evaluation recommendations. For cadastral survey, the same reason vacant posts were not filled and delays in implementing the OSD and the job evaluation recommendation. This also had an effect on personnel-related items such as traveling, stationery, communication, etc. Also, delays in securing appropriate accommodation for Eastern Cape and Northwest offices. This had an effect on both goods and services, mainly machinery and equipment, as some of the required office furniture and equipment could not be procured as planned. for spatial planning and information, 24.3 million was reprioritized during the adjustment estimate process in November 2009 to cater for the newly created sub-programs, which is disaster management and technology research and development. Due to structures only finalized in later part of the financial year, this allocation could not be expanded as planned. Auxiliary services, this program was used to pay public works, accommodation, and capital works project. Department received its approval for capital works project from the Department of Public Works very late during the financial year. So these are the programs which accounted for less than a percent of the underspending. The conclusion and way forward. The structures of the new Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is now finalized. Critical posts are being filled in line with the new mandate of the department. The department is strive to return to its spending pattern of spending more than 99% of its allocated budget in line with the two previous financial years, as the acting DG has indicated. The department has applied for unspent funds to be rolled over to the new financial year, and the approval for National Treasury is still pending the sitting of the NT Rollover Committee. Performance monitoring mechanisms are in place to track and monitor progress spending patching. And thank you, Chair.
The name is Irene.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add on the shifting of land reform. Okay. I just wanted to add on the shifting of 500.
Oh, if you could just identify yourself for the last time.
Irene Singh. Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I'm Irene Singh, the Executive Manager, Financial Management. I just wanted to clarify on the 500 shifting from land reform to restitution. When we were identifying backlogs at restitution, we then made a decision that we rather not spend a lot in land reform, but rather cover the backlogs of restitution because it attracts interest and it has got more backlogs. Then we said this land reform money will be made available to assist restitution. But during the adjustment estimate, we couldn't shift the whole 500 million. Therefore, by the time we went back to them to say now they can continue spending, it was too late. I just wanted to clarify that.
You have clarified nothing, ma'am, with respect. Really, I don't know if members heard what you say, but for me, I have not heard what you said. Because adjustments. We do not wake up on the morning of the 27th when the minister announces adjustments and the people start scratching their heads. You know from the beginning of the financial year that here you're not going to be able to spend or what. Then you apply. It's a process. It's not an event. It's a process. That's why I don't understand what you say. Could you just say, from where did you shift this money? We wanted to shift from where to the land reform program. Where did this 500 and where would it come from? From which program? That's a question that I'm trying to understand.
It was supposed to be from land reform program to restitution program. Yes.
Honourable members, I'm already in your hands. Honourable Swar, Honourable Khaled Blom, Honourable Ramachagana. Now let's do it like this. Honourable Swar, Honourable Radi, Honourable Ramachagana, Honourable Singh, and Khaled Blom.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know what to say, but basically, you know, there are two programs on which they underspend, and the one is land reform, and the other one is rural development, where they underspend. If you highlight, you know, the reds there that you highlighted, and those are the two most important from our point of view are the two most important sections of this department. Now I hear the reasons why you know why they couldn't spend and it was too late, but you know I agree with you that it's a process. You know you've got to do something much quicker. But in any case, we went on this visit to the Eastern Cape last week, and we see lots of land lying there just not being used. It's just not. You know, it's millions of hectares of land just not being used. And, you know, part of the, you know, part of your budget is for rural development. Let us forget for a moment the reasons and the excuses that you give for not being able to spend this money. But I wonder if it's possible for this department to let us have a list of all the things they want to do in the rural development, because that is where we want to get their money, is to the people, and so that they can live. What programs they have in the rural development, and what budget they've allocated to each of those programs for rural development. If they could maybe have, let us have a list like that so that we know exactly where we came with the rural development. Because here we've just got a global figure, and it says, you know, we can't get there, we can't spend the money. We will spend it next year, but we don't know on what. So this committee doesn't really know where it's going. So, you know, I'd be very pleased if we could maybe have that, because, you know, I'd rather not comment on the other stuff as to the excuses.
Sorry, Honourable Member. Do I understand that your question is the, in other words, the strategic plan, the strategic plan of the rural vertical development that you were requesting? Dr. Rabi?
Thank you, Chairman. Chair, every year a number of departments come to the committee and they tell us that they've got a wide number of vacant posts. And the vacancy rate is responsible for the fact that there's underspending. But Chairman, in the submission here on page, I think page 6, on page 7, and page 10, they say that one of the main reasons for not spending the money is that there are a number of critical posts which are not filled. I'd like to know if it's possible, can they furnish this committee, what is the total vacancy rate in your Department of Rural Development, and what steps are being taken to fill, proactive steps to fill these particular reasons? Because with due respect, Chair, I think the department owes this committee and Parliament an explanation why. I'm sure that the personnel are there, the people are there, but why don't they fill those particular posts? That to me is very problematic, Chairman, and I'd like to have an answer on that. Thank you.
Honourable members, I think that I agree with your line of questioning. However, the Department of Rural Development section part of it was only reconfigured at the beginning of 2009. And it really came into place around November. So that's why I would really want us to at least to not to treat it as the land part. It has been there over ages. But this section of the rural development, as rural development, did not exist before. It only existed after the 1999 elections. And we understand, we were briefed in this room about the process when the minister came here. I'm sure the members would remember that process in terms of which department would come into operation by when, in terms of the new reconfiguration of 2009. So that's why I was saying maybe we should understand. I think that's why there's 25% understanding, which is kind of a threshold of we expect the department to spend about that 25% per quarter. Maybe we write to question them, but I'm not sure whether the issue is department or what, but generally the understanding would not be, it didn't come as a surprise, I'm sure. But I'm in your hands. Okay, Dr. Rani.
Yeah, I know it's a question of time. But, Chair, some of the other departments, the Department of Economic Development, have already filled their posts and so forth. So, Chair, I mean, I honestly think I'd like to have the reasons for that, though, why there is such a number of vacant posts. Thank you.
These vacant posts are not necessary in the rural development section, so that question will be responded to. Honorable Ramathagan, the comments.
No, thank you, Chair. I just want to ask the department if they can just explain. You know, the issue of planning. You don't plan in November for the adjustment that you apply for. Adjustment is not something that somebody says and say we will do it. As a head of department, as a department, you plan and you adjust, you configure. You replan and you shift. So you plan for it from the time you start your expenditure on the 1st of April. So I just want to understand this reason that you are putting as a main reason, that you did not necessarily know. You didn't, the Minister of Finance just woke up that morning and gave you the money that you could not spend. Suddenly you woke up and there was this money and you couldn't spend it because you have not planned to spend it. What type of planning cycle as a department you embark upon? Are you not necessarily planning for that kind of expenditure? Because I can't understand that reason, frankly. The second question I want to ask, Chair, is why should we agree that because you did not fill in the post, this critical post, and therefore you want this money to be rolled over to the next financial year. Are you hoping to redirect this money for other expenditure in the department? Because if you have not filled those posts, you're not going to pay the people when you employ them next year, retrospective to this financial year that you're talking about. Why must we agree that it is important that this rollover, particularly insofar as personnel is concerned, must happen? I haven't heard the reason explain why. Maybe the others we can engage. But isn't it that for personal expenditure, budgeting is annual? You budget on the basis of your establishment, and you know what you're going to pay. And if you have not filled in your establishment, there's nothing that's retrospective. I just want to at least be educated on that particular aspect of why. Then, Che, I just want to ask this question in terms of, I understand, and I think we should also accept the Chair, that the point you're making about the new part that was brought in and there was lots of adjustment and replanning. But it does not mean that the department was not functioning. It did not mean that the other program was stagnant. The program continued. For an example, the land reform part, that it was what the department was doing all the time. So if you look at the 92%, another member spoke about the dire need for land reform issues. The reason that they explained here as well, I mean, you can talk about the spatial planning and information, 65% expenditure. A little bit of explanation in terms of that. As a result of the new department, a new wing that came in, so you couldn't, the issue about spatial planning had to be slowed down in terms of that planning. So that you can, I just want to understand that, so that when we talk about the rollover that you are waiting for, we know what you're talking about. But I must say up front, I am not seeing any reason that admin part of personnel that you should be applying for rollover. That's really something about management. That's a management problem. And you can't want to bank the money for personnel for some other expenditure. But I'll hear from you what you say.
In fact, I had asked the CFO when you spoke about certain requirements for the PFMA. It was precisely for that reason that I said, what are those requirements? Because I think that the CFO knows better when, what are the conditions of granting a rollover. But he didn't want to come with the answer. But now is the time for him. Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, colleagues, I don't want to sound like a stuck record, but this whole question about vacancies is a very, very worrying thing. I'm looking at the annual report of 08-09, where there were 22.7% vacancies, and it reflects that there were 16% vacancies in senior management level. Now that will increase with the top two honchos not being there and having resigned. And maybe while I'm on that point, Chairperson, we probably need to ask of the Minister the reasons for the resignation at some stage. Were they financial? Were they voluntary? Was there an inquiry within the department? Why did the two heads of the respective sections resign? And I think Parliament needs to know that, and this committee needs to know that. But I think if this department doesn't sort out the vacancy problems, you're going to forever be undercapacitated, underskilled, and will not be able to meet your mandate. The funds are there. You haven't spent the funds, but the people are not there. The second issue, Chairperson, I'd like to know is on the budget of the Land Claims Commission. We do know that the Land Claims Commission signed many agreements with farmers to acquire land. I think the Minister tried to explain last year on many occasions in the House that whilst they had signed legal binding contracts with people to acquire their lands, they were not in a position to pay them. They eventually got some money, additional funds that were able to pay. What is the current position? What is outstanding in terms of legally binding contracts that have been signed for land acquisition and those contracts have not been honored? How many cases have gone to court and what is happening? Because, Chairperson, this is going to impact on the budget of this department now and in future. How much is outstanding? And I think that is something that we need to know. But, Chairperson, I agree with you that, you know, when we received the original report here, I didn't understand much. But I think we'll begin to understand this whole presentation as we continue to ask questions. But for now, I'll just stop on those two points and then come in later if you allow me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm actually covered by Mr. Ramatlakana and Mr. Singh. My question is still, is Treasury here today? Treasury here today? Because I think they must also... They approved this 292 million rand, the adjustment estimates. My question is that I think we must get the plan, and I think it will be put in the adjustment budget. We will see it there. But we must get the plan, because someone must plan this. We can get the plan of this. And then my other question is about that monitoring program. They advertised one or other time, I'm not certainly using that budget yet, monitors. That was big advertised in the Sunday newspapers about monitors. I think it's a very good idea. I am very positive about that. Then people went to the regional offices, and the people at the regional offices were not aware of that. I want to find out where can we get more detail about the monitors they advertised. They need monitors. The advertised, it was in Sunday newspapers, and I want to find out what is the success ratio of this monitoring program, how many monitors are appointed, and under what program we will get this. And then my third question is, that is also the vacancies. And when it comes to vacancies, I want to find out. I know that it is actually the Department of Agriculture who are dealing with extension officers. I don't think you are dealing with extension officers. But the point is, you are dealing well with the monitors, mentors, not many mentors. The mentor program. I want to find out what is the outcome of the mentor program that we advertised in the Sunday, I know specifically in the Sunday newspapers. I'm not certain if it is in the old budget year or in the new budget year, because I know that the minister by himself are very strong about bringing in mentors, mentorships to the new land reform projects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Snare and Honourable Mala.
Thank you, Chair. The reason for underspending that was given with regards to current payments was that the department stopped using employment agencies and wanted to then build in-house capacity. But I fail to see how you just stopped using a system that you were implementing to then build internal capacity. So there was no planning, which I doubt because we're all capable people, or there's something else that's being said here that isn't being spelt out. And then secondly, Chair, on land reform, they were saying an amount of 500 million was availed to restitution program, but only 100 million could be shifted and 400 million remained at land reform. When that request was made, there was clearly a plan in place. I understand the 8%, but were those two programs not in place at the time when you requested the money? But even if that money couldn't have been shifted, you would have then had an overexpenditure in land reform of about 214 million. So the actual shifting of that fund, I just need some clarity why it was asked for in one program, then couldn't be shifted, and how it was made available in that program. Thank you.
Chair, there's another question I just want to put in. That is, what is the amount that's put aside for consultants in that budget, in that fourth quarter? How many do you pay out for consultants?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Snell has covered part of my question. I find it problematic that the Eastern Cape province, in particular, you couldn't find appropriate accommodation in the Eastern Cape in particular, and the Northwest offices. During, let's say, whilst the departments were merged, agriculture and land affairs, were there no offices at all for land affairs, where land restitution and was placed? That you've taken so long to get those offices. In fact, you haven't found appropriate accommodation to date. And by when do you think you'll find appropriate accommodation? Because it's problematic, particularly for the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Just a small follow-up on slide number 6. That first transfer and subsidy there, if you could just explain what you mean by the less than anticipated payout on leave gratuity. Were you planning to buy some leave from employees, and how much did you plan to buy? If you explain the slides. You've anticipated to pay employees certain gratuity in lieu of leave. And what was that plan that you had? That first bullet that you're talking about there. If you could just explain it.
Yeah. I think that you, Madam Mahalme, I think that you have got the question. However, I just want to also indicate that I like the point that you raised on slide 6, current payments to reduce recruitment costs. In other words, that desire to have a savings. However, the question is, when you want to save, what is our understanding of where can you save? Do we save at all costs? Or do we save where we think that this one we can do without? Now, I'm looking at the department stopped using recruitment agencies and decided to build the internal capacity. I don't know to what extent if that also contributes to you not being able to get the responses that you expected, for instance. That's one thing. But the second thing is, yesterday, the workers were on strike, demanding this and that. Last year, it was the OFD and government, right, acceded to paying for OFD. But here, in your report, I'm not sure what slide is that, but, nine, delays implementing the OSD and job recommendations. Honorable Ramatlakane, for instance, speaks about planning. This issue of planning, it really cuts across whether it's your planning to your requirements. For me, I can understand rural development. I'm putting rural development aside. But just on other what you call the issues that you deal with daily. Now, is it the only area perhaps where you had difficulty in implementing OSD? In other areas, there was no problem. Is this what this message is saying? But I'm just thinking, if we could go back to your first slide. Né? The very first one, which has got all the programs. That's right. Program for the other program, we can see the cost. But you come to administration, it's 652 million, revised down. But even when it is revised down, you're not able to spend. Why did we budget like this? Why did we have to have so much budgeted for administration, not to the core function of the department? Which I think that the core function of the department is to deliver land and restitution and other things. And it's not the only what to call it, because in all the programs, there are hidden costs of administration, because each one, there's staffing on each one. It's not only that one. That one, I would suppose, is the head office. But at that cost, what percentage, for instance, of that is the, I mean, that cost for the department? I think it's a bit high, Madam Mahalmer. I think it's a bit high, and as a result, because it's high, you're not able to exhaust the fund. You could only spend 88%. After having reduced, because it's high, the lady, you'll excuse me, I have difficulty in, when I was still talking, you introduced yourself again, I just couldn't get it again. You spoke about this 100 million being moved from land reform to land restitution. And the CFO was speaking about PFMA requirements. But I want you, sir, now to tell us, what are those requirements? That's one. Two, if you comply with those requirements. But you know, I mean, every time we hear that you have got so much that you is outstanding for payments of restitution, but you can't use this money. What is the problem? Why is it this size? There are people whose money is outstanding. I mean, for a person, for instance, in Gauteng, I had to intervene through Mr. Shabane and the former, what you call, head of land commission. But what about the other thousands of people, for instance, who don't know who to go to? We read about them. Why is it that this fund can be, what you call, used? I mean, I won't go back to the issue of the vacancies. I think colleagues have really repeated the issue of filling in vacancies, because we understand when the Minister of Finance calls for measures to save costs, we agree with him. So, but I don't think that his call is saying so. We must constrain the department so that they are not able to, what you call it, to operate. Because if you do that, for instance, will criticize you that it's not what they call it, what the minister is saying, but the minister is saying do away with those things that are really not necessary. And I think that each department undertook to that it can save so much, but not to be in a position not to, to operate as a department. Going to be, I mean, it's difficult to comprehend. But maybe we should, at this stage, allow you to respond. But I just want to, again, remind my colleagues, I'm a Amaphosa, they are members of Parliament, so you have a right to raise questions yourself. You're free to raise questions if you want to make interventions anytime. Please do so. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just take a few questions and then I'll ask the rest of the team also to come in and assist. The first one, I just want to start with the question that you have just posed, Honorable Chen, about the admin fund. That admin actually includes at least four components. It includes the ministry, it includes the office of the DG, it includes support services, and then it also includes finance. And finance and support services are just branches on their own, so they're quite big. And it's the first time in the department since the restructuring that we have had the ministry actually located in the department. We used to share the ministry with the then Department of Agriculture, and the minister, deputy minister, and their staff used to be located in the Department of Agriculture. So we had, for the first time, also to budget for them coming through to our department for the first time. And then, as I said, then that the support services and also finance are actually big components that that deal with corporate support, give support services to the department. And then, in terms of the vacancies, the two components listed in the report, that is service and mapping and cadastral service, are specialized fields. We actually require professional land surveyors to do the work, to fly the country to produce the maps that we have, and also to do the cadastral service of the country. And there are very, very few in the country. The whole profession is actually struggling with the dwindling resource that they have in the whole country. So it's very, very difficult to attract and retain them, and especially at the salaries that we offer them. So this is why it's always a struggle, it's always been a struggle to get those scarce skills. To recruit them in our department. But then also, the implementation of the OSD and the delays thereof has come as a result that...
Sorry, excuse me, Acting PG, with respect, you know, you gave the response on administration, I just tried to accept it, you know. I don't know, members, not for me to accept or not to accept. But I think that what you should be doing is, you say this is status quo. What are you doing about it? For instance, you speak about the certain scarce skills, no? And you're not telling us what is it that you're doing about it. Because it means that tomorrow you will come back here, we'll still find ourselves in the same situation. You have resources available to you. What is it that you're doing about it then if you're experiencing this kind of situation? I mean, other departments, they provide, bursaries and what. And I know that, again, there are challenges in terms of retaining even those people. That is OSD which have not been paid here, and I can understand why people would not want to stay if government, parliament approves OSD money. Now department, you go to planning again now, but those monies have been approved, that please retain the skills. Special OSD is made for special skills, I understand.
Chairperson, can I just expand on the question of vacancy in response to the answer? I mean, while we can understand, ma'am, that there are these scarce skills, but that is not the only component. And if you look at your own annual report, you'll see other programs like restitution, land reform, where there's 22% and 17% vacancies. I mean, I can understand on surveys and mapping and cadastral that you can get these kind of specialized people, but they're small in numbers. But there's big numbers in administration, restitution, land reform. And Chairperson, you see, this begs the question. Land claims were last gazetted on the 30th, I mean, the claims were last lodged in December 1998. There was an extension. It is 12 years down the line, it's 2010 now. There are still hundreds of claims that have not been gazetted. Last week I made an inquiry on behalf of a group of farmers. And I wrote to the office of the Land Claims Commission to find out, Chairperson, whether a particular piece of land, whether there was a claim lodged on it. They were not in a position to tell me. They say they may gazette it in the future. Now, is it going to take another 10 years? Is it going to take another 20 years? Because there's all this uncertainty. Is it because of a lack of personnel in the department that there are these undue and long backlogs? I mean, what is it? What is the reason for this not being done timeously? And if it is a reason that you don't have staff, tell us. Because you have the money. Why don't you employ the staff? Thanks, Chair.
Okay, no, thank you, Chair.
The Chair administration now. Honorable State, you were not here when we said all members of Parliament are allowed to participate.
Okay, thanks.
You may continue, teacher.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to confirm, Chair, what you already said about introduction of buzzer schemes, etc. We have embarked on that. We have gone out to career expos, even at schools, introducing these courses because previously or historically they were not offered at our black institutions. Trying to recruit those students to come to the fore, and we have done so, and we have in fact put a budget aside to say we will sponsor these children, and indeed we got them, but as we say, because our salaries then have not been competitive and attractive, they've actually also left us. So that is what we've just been doing all the time. And we also provide in the department their internships. But then also the other colleagues also the one to respond in terms of the other components, like when the questions were raised around land reform and restitution. Thank you, Chair.
No, just to add to the acting DG's response, Honourable Chair, I do know that Honourable Singh is looking at the 08-09 annual report. May I request, if it is acceptable to you, sir, that we furnish you with the current status with regard to the vacancies? If that is a
question. You will excuse me. He's a member of SCOPA, so he's always behind, 2 years behind.
I think it'll be useful, Chair, and then we can make a comparison to see how much it has improved. Because this report here that we're seeing now is a March 2010, and there's still vacancies. So there's a trend of vacancies which are abnormal. That's what I'm trying to point out. It's an abnormal trend. But let's look at the figures. When it comes.
I was merely proposing that, Honorable Chair, hoping that there will be a market improvement from the report he's got. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair, I was just reminded that there was an acting CFO when all these things happened. Let me just add to what Mdu has been saying. Yes, the statistics have changed. At some stage it was 12%, but because of the new structure with regard to the rural development component, it creates an impression that we have not filled the post, whereas it's diluted by the new post. But there was also a question, the relationship between savings on recruitment agencies and the vacancies. There's no relationship. The reason why we cancelled the recruitment services is because they were not adding value in terms of appointment, but they were only like response handling, whereby they would do the advertisement and then handling the CVs back and all, so there was no value adding to them. Actually, the system is working better now because we're receiving the CVs directly. I don't know if I should carry on, go to the mentorship, the issue around the mentorship. Around the mentorship, yes, we have received a number of applications. I'm currently responsible for the new unit called Strategic Land Reform Intervention. It's basically responsible for all this recapitalization and development of the farms. What happens is that there's a certain process, an approach that we are following to identify all the farms that need to be recapitalized. The farms are classified into different categories. There are those that will need a mentorship. There are those that will need a physical recapitalization. We are about, we have advertised, if you have seen in the newspapers in the past 2 months, all the properties that need that attention. We are about to appoint soon. The process is slow because we need to respect the supply chain processes. Normally, if you go on open tender, we are forced by the PFMA to go a period of 21 days. Before that period can lapse, you can't do anything. In that period of 21 days, you still need to do evaluation, you still need to do recommendation so that the process can be in place. But soon we will be identifying the selected mentors that will be attached to specific farms that the provinces have requested farms to be mentored. We are slow, we know, but we are there. We are about to appoint soon. We have received about 200 applications, more than 200 applications of those mentors. Not all of them are good, but our processes will determine who are qualified to assist the farms. Then the last one from my side is the planning vis-a-vis the budget and the underspending. I think the brief history is that when this new program, the rural development, was introduced, there was a need for budget to be available. And then we had to shift through Treasury an amount of 500 million, giving it to the new program. Yes, by that time, I think we overshifted the money because the systems were not in place in order to say what is that exactly they are going to be doing. But parallel to that, we're waiting for Treasury to reimburse land reform for their 504 million through adjustment estimates. Due to the change in administration, that process came a little bit later, which necessarily means it affects land reform in a sense that in land reform, there's a lot of things that you do before you can acquire land. Members, you will know now that you need to update your valuation reports. You need to ensure that you transfer and all the stuff. That alone can take a period of 2 months. It goes up until 3 months in some cases, hence the underspending under land reform. But what was bad is that we requested Treasury to say, because restitution has got the claims that are ready to be paid, can we shift the money again to restitution above the 8% that we've already done? They refused. So as a result, there was no way in which you can spend the 216 money under the land reform. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to talk to the restitution.
No, sorry, Mr. Kamete, just 1 second. Honourable Snap.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm being a bit slow this morning, but I don't understand. If that money wasn't shifted, you would have had an over expenditure of almost 214 million in that, in your land reform program. So can I have an explanation on that? You asked for the 400 of the 500 million for one program. You couldn't move it to restitution. But you're showing 186 million over expenditure, but it would have been significant over expenditure.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity. I sit on the Rural Development and Land Reform Portfolio. Just on that specific point on the money shifted to restitution, that was one of our biggest complaints in our portfolio committee, is that we were told that restitution is coming to an end. That's why the department asked for a cut down on restitution money, and I know that we had a discussion about that specifically. So if we are now told in this meeting that they have asked this year then for the money to be shifted back, why did the department in the first place ask for the money to be shifted from restitution to land reform? That's how I understood it in our portfolio committee, that you were cutting down on restitution. And then on the mentorship, I'm very concerned to hear that we haven't really started employing or taking up contracts with people under the mentorship program. We are 5 months in this new financial year. Our biggest concern is these farms that's lying fallow, and that we want to start with mentorship. If it's 5 months into the new program, we're discussing underspending under rural development for last year. We're 5 months into this year. I don't know what is going to happen with the the rural development program and the SRIP program that a member was mentioning there. They will have to come up and tell us what are they doing there if they couldn't spend the last year, but we're already 5 months into this year, and not employing people to help those farms getting up to date.
I think that we have ruled before you came that we will be lenient with the program of rural development because of the situation that you understand. It was only reconfigured around November. I mean, it came into operation around November last year. But also what we're dealing with is the fourth quarter up to the end of March. So all that we're asking is up to the end of March, why is this state of affairs? I'm sure soon we will come to the point when we come to the first quarter report, which we will be getting, I think, very soon. But also we want to make it a habit that we invite yourself. Also, I mean, you're more knowledgeable than us on departments, what's happening or not. It assists all of us. But let's just allow them to conclude. Bab Shabane, let's allow Bab Kamete was still on the floor. Am I right? Mr. Kamete, you're still on the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Singh asked about the status quo with restitution. It's true, Honorable Chair, we have commitments since the beginning of the program where there were signed sale agreements, there were offers made and accepted by the landowners, and there was Section 42Ds. Now, we have disclosed that in the financial and annual reports that we have commitments amounting to 7.5 billion. And I think that has been declared over years. And these are the commitments made of the sale agreements that have been signed, your Section 42Ds, and where we've made offers and acceptance. It has increased, Chair, now to almost 12 billion. And the reason for that is that we've had some court cases where courts have compelled us to pay. Even where there's no Section 42D, where there was an offer and acceptance, and even where there was a Section 42D, but there was no signed sale agreements, also the courts have compelled us that we must pay those. Now, that has increased the commitments. Now, these are the commitments that have accumulated over years. In terms of the court orders, we were taken to court by a number of landowners, as I have explained to you, and where it was ordered that we should pay even where there was no sale agreement, as long as there was an offer and acceptance, even if there was no Section 42D and all that. And this has been disclosed where we had court orders. I think it was around 500 million. But then, following the court decisions, a number of landowners then decided to take us to court also. Before court orders were issued, the minister instructed us that we settle all these court orders, including those that are court applications. We did an analysis to see if we can defend some of them. And in our analysis, we found that we can't defend them. We have paid so far almost 700 million for court applications and court orders.
Now, there are those, I think the total figure was about 997 million, including the court applications. Now, the court orders, Chair, are for where we have paid the first 50%. We are ordered to pay the second 50%. Where we haven't paid the first 50%, we are ordered to pay the first 50%. Now, the outstanding ones are those that are in the deeds office, where we have paid the first 50%, and we have been ordered to pay the second 50%. Now, we can't pay the second 50% until transfer has been registered. Now, that's the process that we are left with now, to pay all the court orders and the court applications. But they keep coming, because already there's a precedence that has been set in court. They'll keep coming, so we'll have more court orders on that. The 7.5 billion that has been disclosed over years, which is now almost about 12, exclude the 4,000 plus minus 4,000 claims that Honorable Singh talked about, which still needs to be assessed. We cannot quantify those until we have researched them and done all the validation. What we are doing with that, Chair, is that we are putting a plan
together. Mr. Kamede, I'm sorry, I think I missed the point there. What is it that you can't quantify?
It's the outstanding claims that have not been researched.
You have regional offices, what is it? But you can't quantify. You don't know what you have paid and not paid.
No. By quantifying, Chair, I mean the monetary value of what is outstanding. Because what needs to happen, for instance, if a community claims 6,000 hectares, we need to get an evaluation. And the evaluation will then indicate to us what will be the estimated cost of settling that claim. Now, in most of the outstanding claims, the 4,000 plus, there are no evaluations that have been done, because the process is you must first do the research to determine whether this is a valid claim. And once you have done the research, then you can gazette and then do the other processes like your evaluation or validation and all those things. So before you conduct research or do the valuation, you cannot quantify what will be the cost of the claims. But what you are doing, Chair, we are putting a plan in place to try and finalize all the commitments that have accumulated over years. We're doing one, a cleanup in the offices to see if those were valid claims, because some of them we can reduce by de-gazetting, because we might find that some of the claims are not valid claims, they were wrongly gazetted and all that. But also we are approaching Treasury to say maybe in the next 3 years we will need so much to settle all the outstanding claims. We are also engaging with the landowners, talking to them, because the other thing, Chair, is that most of the outstanding claims are large and complex claims. These are claims on conservation, claims on forestry, claims on mining, large sugarcane plantations, protected areas, and developments. And some of those claims, for instance, your Kruger National Park, you cannot restore land to people because they're not going to take physical occupation. Now, we were trying to develop new settlement models, models that will help in terms of restituting the title, but also not impacting negatively on whatever business or economic activity
is taking place in that situation. So we are looking at settlement models for large complex cases in your mining, in your sugarcane, where our people can participate either co-management, equity and all those. And we hope that also, Chair, will assist us in terms of reducing the backlog, because you don't have then to pay $200 million to settle one claim. You can agree with the landowners that there will be partnership or co-ownership. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Is there any addition, refiner? Okay, Mr. Shabane, then if you go to the toilet, we don't accommodate you. Honorable Stein, Honorable Eswart.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Just the question that you raised, which is related to... No, just pick on the mic.
As they need the clarity on the question, with the only the 100 million being shifted and the 400 million remaining with over expenditure.
You see, this round, I can only allow you not to come up with new questions, because they are still responding to the questions that we have asked. But if you follow up on something that has been raised, it's fine. You can come in.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to ask the acting DG for clarity. You said this 12 billion rand backlog. Does that include the people who did not who need financial compensation? Because we received lists last year of people that's outstanding in all the provinces that didn't opt for getting back land. So it doesn't include buying of farms. It only includes people living in town areas for financial compensation. So I just need clarity of that included, and if not, what is that amount?
Can somebody just explain to me whether the state, the government, has committed itself to payment of claims without having the necessary money on the budget? Because that is what appears to me to be the case.
Yeah, Chair, the follow-up statement that I want to make, I think as a committee, this department is sitting on a time bomb. With 12 billion rand committed, with 4,000 claims not yet being researched, for which we don't have quantification, what impact is it going to have on the finances, fiscus of this country, which is something that this committee is seized with. And I think sooner rather than later, we'll have to really grasp the nettle here and deal with this problem, because it's a constitutional imperative that land reform and restitution and all that be things that be considered. And maybe we need a more in-depth discussion and engagement with the department when we have figures to assist the department to get out of this position that they find themselves in, not of their own making, but because of how we want to redress the wrongs of the past that happened prior to 1994.
I think that is progressive. The situation is progressive. I think that we keep on saying to the department, we must invite them back, you know. But I'm worried about the statement that Mr. Kamede is saying, that, for instance, they have to go to court. In other words, instead of these resources being directed towards settling this claim, now we're dealing with the court. We're not saying that how we engage in these people so that we can avoid these court cases. Because I think that I don't know how much, for instance, if you have quantified how much exactly is being spent on court cases, that could have been directed towards settling some of the claims, you know. Because I think the problem, maybe that the members are saying, it's communication between the department and the claimants, the types of the categories that we have spelled out. Those 50% that have been paid and those 50% that are outstanding, who is entitled to what? I agree with Honorable Stein, maybe with the portfolio committee, would have to just come back on this issue to get a clarity. But I don't know if you want to respond to questions that have been raised. Mr. Matlangu, Mr. Who, by the way, CFO? There's still a question that is outstanding. I'm sure you'll come back to it. But let's just conclude there first.
Thank you, Chair. We are trying to engage the landowners because the court processes, as we all know, are expensive. But it's not initiated by us. As you know, that these are the commitments that have accumulated over years. Now, with the court decisions or jurisprudence coming out of the court, everyone then is rushing to court because then the court can issue court order and compel the department to pay. But we have, Chair, we're developing an engagement strategy to try and communicate with the landowners and also with the claimants. In terms of the financial compensation, the 12 billion is made up of one, what we need to buy the land where we have gazetted, and two, what we need for those people who have opted for the equitable redress of financial compensation. So it's part of that. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, my colleagues have tried to respond to the shifting of the 500 million. There has been a follow-up on that. I don't know if... Yes, what the colleagues, Chair, have said, this is a decision that was taken very early in the financial year, just after the establishment of the new Department of Rural Development, I think around June, July, when that process happened. It was anticipated initially that that money was gone. It wouldn't come back to the program of land reform initially. Obviously, we had to go and apply through the budget adjustment process to which my colleagues have spoken to. What is reflected there is under expenditure, not over expenditure, Honorable Chair. When the money came back, it came back because through the budget adjustment process, National Treasury then gave the new department, the new division of rural development, more money. So some of the money that had been earmarked for expenditure under rural development could no longer be given to rural development because the National Treasury gave rural development through the budget adjustment process the money that they had requested. If I'm trying to just explain that particular process. So by that time, we were sitting with the 500.
Let me ask you. I'm sure you didn't get the question. The question is saying you identified this 500 million rand that would be moving to have. The question is saying the reasons for that was because that you had over budgeted. There was no need for this 500 rand, 500 million, because had you not done that, you would have had an under expenditure of that. Two ways. Whether you leave it, you would have experienced an under expenditure. If you transferred it, it's because you did not budget properly. Something is not right. That is what is the gist of the question.
Thanks, Chair. Chair. There was logic behind the 504 million. 504 million was the last 25% of the last quarter. At the time of the shifting to the new program, it was still far to the last quarter. We were anticipating to say that by the adjustment estimate ends, you will still have time at least to spend.
Sorry, Mr. Matlan. The question that I asked earlier, which my colleague is following up on, is when did you notice this? Because another adjusted what you call a national estimate. You didn't make this request. That's why I asked the lady, and when? And my colleague said the same thing. When do you realize that you need this fund? When do you do that? That's why we said that in our understanding, limited understanding, the rollover is a process. You know by now what rollovers you're going to request. You have alluded that you have already requested, for instance, for some rollovers that have been, what you call, not for money that have been not spent to be rolled over. That will be adjusted. But now, the question is, in November, you realize that you need this 500 million. But only in October, just a month before November, the adjustments were made. You asked for 6 million for land restitution. You were given 250 million for land reform. That's what you asked for. So to ask the question, we're going to have a workshop, if I can inform you, with National Treasury, because we want to understand the authenticity of this, what you call it, of this budget. Are this budget really authentic? Are they, do departments really make serious budget? Do we apply our minds really seriously, or we just budget when we know that we would need another 50 million elsewhere for what we will, and we budget them in a program that has not been properly costed? That is the issue that we're raising here.
Thank you, Chair. What we are trying to explain is that in order to avail the money from the land reform program, not because we did not need the money, we needed it. When we anticipated that there was a challenge on the restitution program, we had to stop acquiring land on the redistribution process. We had to stop approving projects for a period of about 3 months so that we don't have budget under expenditure and commitments, over expenditure and commitments under the land reform program. That is what we are saying. That is how, when we had stopped this process, making commitments, buying land. That is why when the budget adjustment process approved the money, our process were not ready for us to move because we had completely stopped because we were avoiding having budget under expenditure under Program 5 of land reform. That is what we are trying to say. But what we also want to say, Chair, we must say that there is scope for improvement. If you apply for a budget adjustment, we can't just completely say we were taken by surprise when money was made available. There was scope for anticipation so that we planned in advance so that when the money became available, we could have spent some of the money. We can't just say we were taken by surprise. We just want to put it to the honorable members that there's certainly significant room for improvement if we ask for money through adjustment process so that we plan ahead so that when money comes, we are not in a position where we can spend it. Thank you.
The other cost that is hidden that we can't see, there's no report, is this legal cost. How much? Or whether it's by way of estimation, do you pay for legal cost?
Normally covered in the final annual report, the check, it will be under contingent liabilities. So legal. Chair, can we please provide us information? We don't have it at hand.
Because we don't deal with this department on a daily basis. The restitution program, was there no restitution program within the budget of the department in November of last year? Then I'll be able to maybe understand what you're trying to say in your slide. Because if there was, what I'm trying to get clear in my mind, if there was a program of restitution in the department last year, you asked for 500 million for restitution, which was given to you, it says in the slide. But then you could only transfer 100 million of that money from land reform to restitution, and 400 million remained with land reform. That is what is confusing me. That's what you're saying in your slide on page 7.
Can I throw an attempt again? The 500 request was within the department, was reprioritization. Restitution opened its books, I think, with 1.4 billion that was spent within the first two quarters of the financial year. So the request was mainly to ask land reform to subsidize restitution because there was still project outstanding. But that money could not be transferred because I think the reason was that it was above the 8% environment that the accounting officer can shift within. Yes, I can confirm that it was above the 8% that the accounting officer can approve. So the rest of the remaining amount, which is about 400, was supposed to have Treasury endorsement, and Treasury didn't agree. I think I've mentioned that. Hence, there was no move of the 400 million back to restitution from land reform.
The amount that Treasury approved was the 100 million.
They basically didn't approve anything. The 100 million was part of the maximum 8% that we can shift to restitution.
My name is Irene again. Just to add, I think the honorable member there is being confused by seeing the 100 million there being an under expenditure, not the 400 million. So when we said they must now start continuing to spend, out of that 400 that was still remaining, they continue to spend and only remain with the 186. So the 100 that was transferred to restitution was approved through the normal filing process that the accounting officer can approve.
If you read your slide, it says an amount of 500 million was availed to the restitution program in November 2009. So if you did it internally by Viamond, you're saying that you availed it. It's misleading. Your slides are misleading, in other words. Okay, thank you.
Chair, I just wanted to make a follow-up. I know the answer is pointed to the annual report. The question was, which I had an interest to get an answer, do you budget for this legal cost? Do you budget actually in the department? What is that budget? That's the question that hasn't really been responded to, except to say annual report will look at the contingency liability. But if you know that there is going to be this legal litigations, obviously you plan for it. What is that plan that you put in place in terms of your budgeting? And I also wanted the Chair just to understand the 4,000 unquantified. How long is it going to take for it to be quantified? Because that has a budgetary implication. How long in years or in months are we talking? Is there no capacity that can be brought in to be able to help if you can't quantify to the cent a guesstimate in order for you to be able to plan your budgetary in terms of the treasury? Because I'm just worried that it is a figure that is thrown out and complication is put ahead of it, that this is a mountain that you can't climb. But in order to budget, you've got to be able to make a sense of that amount and at least estimate or guesstimate it in order for it to be able to be planned.
Give it to Masha.
Chair, the budgeting.
No. I want you to look at that book. I want to help you because you're coming to answer budget monies here without having a budget document. If you look at your, you say that 500 rand was never transferred finally because it was over 8%. But if you look at those figures there, in terms of what became the final, what we call a figure, for after budget estimate, I mean, the difference, it's not the 6 million that we're getting. It's close to the 500 that was not budgeted for. If you look at the reform, the land reform and land restitution, you see the after the budget estimate, because it would have helped for the CFO to have shown here that what were the original, what you call the budget, the main budget, what were the adjustments, the expenditure after that. He did not what you call show that. It would have helped, because it would have helped everyone to see exactly, to be able to, the reason why there is no understanding of this 500 million. We don't understand why you put it in the first place if it was not transferred. Clearly, it was what they call it. Something did happen to 500 million rand. You would not just put it there and say, no, we needed 500 rand. When you go, for instance, for the budget, you say, we need so much. Everybody says, we can't afford it to give you so much. And that is the figure that finally comes to us. It's not what you originally requested. It's what you have been allocated. That's all. So I'm saying those figures there of the adjusted national estimates, they don't just tally with your own figures here. So something is wrong.
Thanks, Chief. May we request that we provide the proper answer just after everyone has answered, responded to their questions. We should be doing that quickly.
Honorable Sir?
Chairperson, just a follow-up.
I'm sorry, Honorable Sir. But before anything, the question of the legal cost, Honorable Ramachandra says you accept that we'll get them from the annual report. But you know that it's one of your cost drivers. The question is it budgeted for or not? Yes or no? And if yes, in which what you call a program is that amount budgeted for? Sorry, before you come in, Honorable Lair.
Chairperson, as I was saying now, there's already 12 billion commitment. There's 4,000 claims that have not been looked at yet, possible claims that need to be gazetted. Now, could one not say that each of those 4,000 is an average of 100 hectares, which gives you 400,000 hectares, times an average price of whatever, so it gives you X billion rand. So that this committee and everybody else is aware of the possible payments that may have to be made sometimes in the future. If we don't know, it's a commitment that government, you know, it's there. Government might have to pay this money. We don't know how much, when, how do you budget. So some kind of calculation, you know, on that basis, informed calculation.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to add something on the 12 billion. I said it's what we need to pay for land, financial compensation, and the section 42 C's, the developmental grants. We are, Mr. Chair, in a process of quantifying the 4,000. What we are currently doing is that we have agreed that we are going to focus on researching the 4,000 claims in order for us to quantify those. And also at the same time, because the 4,000 claims, it's not just claims against private land. It could also be claims against state land. So we need to do that exercise. And also you might find that people would not want to be physically given the land. they might also opt for financial compensation. And with the new settlement models that we are looking at, where we say, for instance, in your large sugar cane or in your forestry, we want to ensure that people can participate and be partners and live off the land. It might not also, we need to investigate those so that we are able to come up with not just an estimate, but an exact figure. How much will it cost the state in the next 2 or 3 years? We are doing this exercise, Chair, and I will be finishing this this financial year. So if maybe sometime early next year, we can be able to provide this committee with the cost of the outstanding claims. Thank you, Chair.
I think the question that Mr. Honorable Singh is asking is that you're going to come to Parliament and say we want to pay, we have got 4,000 claimants that are outstanding, we want to pay them out. Now the question that Honorable Singh wants to ask is, if, by now, for instance, by the way, the budget, again, is not an event. You prepare it over time. You're busy with the next year's budget, let alone the one to come. Now, the question that he is really asking, all honest, is that, what is that figure that you're going to, what call, unless you're saying that, you have not yet reached, that's the quantification that you're talking about, that we have not yet made it. I think that the difficult part is that we know, already you're indicating that you're not able to pay everyone. So obviously, you will come back for adjustment. So the question is, so for now, we are in August. The adjustment is in 2 months' time. So you still don't know if you will be asking for adjustment and for how much. And when we are saying it's a process, this thing is a process.
Or you don't want to, for now, it's embargoed. I think, Mr. Singh, we should accept it, but you aren't at the right time to come with your request. We'll accept that, Mr. Kamit.
Yes, Chair. I think it will be proper for us to come at the appropriate time with the right figure. But what should the House do? No, not necessarily, Chair, but I think there will be a request for more funding, not only because of the outstanding claim, the ones that still have to be settled, but because also of the backlog. Now, we want to, as I said, Chair, we're developing a plan, and we've been also requested by the minister to develop a plan. If we want to finalize all this, how much can we spend? How many can we settle maybe over the next 2 or 3 years? Because we don't want to say to this house, next year give us 10 billion, and then we come back, we have underspent. So,
you know what this committee normally says? The question that they normally put every day to department is, is the medium-term expenditure framework system working? And when you give us the answer, we keep on going back to that question. Is it really working? Because we must go back to national trials and say, no, this system is not working. Let's go back to the old system where everybody wakes up, doesn't know what he is looking for the next day, is waiting for the minister to give. Because this system, the question was raised about planning. Because this system is made to ensure that we can plan. It can't be what you call, can't be acceptable, Mr. Kamete, with respect that now You don't know what over the MTF you want to spend. We're not asking for exact figures. We agree with you. We don't have to know them now. But the MTF, it says this year you're getting 20 rand, next year 25 rand, the other year, after year, so much. Just roughly. That's what it is saying. So you're saying now, in your MTF program, you don't have this program that of land restitution over MTF. Let alone the what you call it, the exact figures. But if you do have, where are those figures in the books? We have the national estimates, we've got the adjustments, we have the Department of Revenue, and there's no money that can be outside all those books. So somewhere, it should lie somewhere where we can see ourselves.
Chair, I think we have them in the books. But definitely, Chair, we are going to come back and ask for the 12 billion. We are going to do that.
No, Chair, I think that we shouldn't insist, because that I don't think we're going to get that answer. But can I? Yeah, but may I just say, Chair, that the concern I'm sitting in, I'm sitting with a big concern, and I think it was raised earlier on, and that the books of claimant, if you remember, it was 1998, 31st December, books were closed. Between that time and today, we still don't quite know, we still haven't quite quantified in billion terms. All what we know is now the 12 billions, but the 4,000 that is still outstanding, we still don't know what it would mean in monetary terms. The fear I have with that kind of target that is moving, it may just lead into billions, and that nobody has planned for, and nobody seems to understand them, and there's no any early warning system that has been developed out of the department. It worries me in terms of the budgetary and looking forward, what we put on the table, because even the 12 billion you're talking about is more than what the department's budget is. The budget is only 6 billion. So if you're going to come with 70 billion later into a quantification, and then there is going to be some problem that's going to emerge. So I'm just wanting to send that signal that as the officials of the department that you go back, and you think quite seriously about this, because I think we're sitting with some cost that nobody knows, which is going to be a time bomb, and nobody will be alerted beforehand. It's just a concern I want to register. DG, I note that you did not answer my question about the administration. Why must we agree with this rollover of the money, of the personnel that they suppose that were not filled, but you want to roll over the amount that was not spent forward? I know that was not so. I guess that there is no answer to that question, and therefore...
They still have to be quantified.
There's no answer. Like, I'm looking at the time, so I think that...
I think that there were other questions maybe that overtook the process. Actually, the monies that we have requested the rollovers for are not mainly for compensation, because we are in a process of filling the post now in terms of the new mandate, in terms of the new structure that we have now developed to comply with the new mandate. So we did not then ask for money for rollover for compensation. It is just for projects. For rural development, mainly. What else? volunteer who then can also.
When you roll over fund, you don't roll them line for line like you roll administration for administration. You roll it for other programs. So the one which belongs to administration it not go to compensation of employees, because those posts are vacant, so you don't have to catch up, but you catch up with the project, like you go to land reform, restitution, and rural development.
You said your name is?
Protas Pili.
Who? The surname?
Pili.
Pili.
Yes.
Okay, Pili Mape. No, it's fine. Pili. Wow. Okay. Now, you know, I'm not sure if you're helping us. I do not know if you're helping us. But members will tell. This committee is a committee that approves the adjustments. In the adjustments, we just don't say we need 5 million funds. And the 5 million rand, it will be just for everything. So you say 1 million rand will be for this, the other million rand will be for this, and the other million rand will be for that. So in other words, so that we, the committee, parliament, on behalf of parliament, it can engage in each and everything. Why do you need this thing? That is one. But two, next to you, the acting PG says, no, we are in the process of filling these vacancies. The reason for that is that these vacancies are funded. They are not unfunded. They are funded. So not just a freeway. Even in the freeway, there are rules when you travel on the freeway. So that's why then you need to answer the questions. If you can't answer the question, say, no, I can't answer this question, it's fine. We'll accept that you can't answer the question. But we want you to be upfront with us. When you ask for rollover, what is it that we should approve or rollover for? Because we will not what is going to be able to approve. I think that I said to you, we're going to be moving forward now. We're going to be a little bit what you call it tight. Maybe we have been just allowing people to also roll over, that even people are not quantified in Sekamede. Not quantified. And then ask for a rollover is passed. If you don't do that, you don't quantify, you don't come for the rollover. I think that is the rule that we should put now. But, you know, Mr. Swart, when they were laughing, I was saying, if you milk the cow as long as it can give you milk, once it dries up, otherwise there will be blood thereafter. So you don't continue to force matters. So I would really like us to move towards winding up. We will conclude. We'll give you what we call the conclusion. I'll start with Honorable Harold Long, Honorable Snell, Honorable Swart. Sorry. You know, we're engaging with the department. I think there were questions that were not what we call they responded to. Among them, issues of accommodation in the Eastern Cape. Can we, honorable members, just allow them to conclude on those questions, that original questions? And the members maybe can indicate which question they think that was not responded to first.
Jefferson, I still want to say that I'm still very concerned about that mentorship program. Of course, the success of rural development is based on the mentorship program in the next 5 to 10 years. And my plea today is that the department must urgently to put this and implement this program now. I heard that 200 people. So that is, I'm not satisfied, but only 200 people. But there is a goodwill outside, I think, of people who want to assist the new farmers. and I urgently want them to implement that as soon as possible. That is just a request from my side.
Sorry, Chair, I misunderstood you to let these questions be answered first.
No, you're right, because I just said, let's just conclude on those questions first that we raised at the beginning. So that we can say this question was not responded to. One of them is accommodation in the Eastern case. The other one, a question that has not been responded to altogether. Rural development. Okay, go for it.
The Honourable Member raised an issue about what are the funds within rural development being utilised for in terms of the different projects. I think that is quite an expansive list of projects that are being worked on at the moment, so we will provide that in writing to the members. But I think just very quickly, Chair, in 1 minute, to give an indication that there is a differentiation between the current land reform program and the functions that sit within the rural development program, although we have a broad mandate of rural development. And within the rural development mandate, we deal with issues of community building, skills development initiatives, enterprise development, as well as infrastructure development. And a lot of some of the money that we've requested to be rolled over in terms of rural development were actually for infrastructure development projects that have already begun in the last financial year and flow over in terms of planning into the first and second quarter of this financial year. So that's the distinction I wanted to draw. But we will make sure that you have a list, and then you can see the entire program and the different areas that it deals with in terms of rural development. But the second thing I want you to indicate is that, again, in terms of mentorship, mentorship is a program that currently falls within the Strategic Land Reform Intervention Program of the department. It is a specific program that is linked in terms of the recapitalization of farms already transferred. So that is a program in terms of funding, Madam Steyn, that falls then under land reform and not within directly the funds that are available under rural development. So just that little bit of clarity as well, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you again, Honourable Chair. Just to respond to the question about office accommodation, especially in the Eastern Cape. Let me just say that we are assisted by the Department of Public Works in acquiring accommodation, office accommodation. And yes, the process of getting or acquiring office accommodation is very lengthy and at times frustrating. I'm protected, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair. So I'm saying it's not of our own doing. We forever then submit our requests through Public Works in terms of also they've got such requirements where you've got to specify for how many officials, at what levels they are, so that they can actually quantify. I forget? Yes. So then they go out then and look for accommodation and then inform us and then go and inspect and then sign that lease agreement with them. So I'm just saying, Chair, it's really out of our hands. But we try, by all means, we follow it up with them to get that accommodation.
It's a new question.
It's a follow-up. I think you must declare a state of emergency on your properties and then you'll be able to circumvent a multitude of red tape. The other one, Chair, is that with regards to the offer and acceptance, how is that controlled? Because surely, because offer and acceptance, as the court has ruled, it's legally binding, but if that's not being controlled at some kind of a central point, you're going to have these massive budget overruns going forward. So if I could get clarity on that, please, Chair. And then also, I do have to admit that I side with the official who said I was confused, and I am confused because that statement that was put there was designed to confuse, so well done.
Honourable Mashiko, Honourable Swart, Honourable Stengel, I still have a question. Okay. Honourable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm looking at program number 7, auxiliary and other services. What exactly is that? Because there's an explanation here that says the program was used to pay public works accommodation and capital work program. And the department received this approval for the capital works project from the Department of Public Works very late during the financial year. What does that actually mean? And what services are really involved? The auxiliary and assistance.
But you wanted to raise a question, you forgot it.
Okay. All right. Rob Kamet.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, in the past, what used to happen is that we'll do an evaluation of the property, and you have very junior people negotiating, making an offer. And if the landowner feels that it's a good offer, they'll gladly accept that. And we must accept that there's been a process that has contributed to this overcommitment. But what we have done is that we have issued a directive that only the commissioners will negotiate with landowners. It's an offer that will be binding is the one that will be made by a regional commission. So that's how we're controlling. And we've put in place a monitoring and evaluation system in the office and a person that is in charge. And any offer, because it has to be in writing, there has to be a certificate that national office must see that offer and authorize the offer being made. I just wanted to say also, Chair, because I don't think I'll have peaceful sleep if I leave this house with the notion that we're not quantifying the 4,000. We are. No, Chair, I had said that the 12 billion, it's what we know. And the outstanding claims which we had done nothing, which is our focus this financial year, so that we can quantify those. We are doing something. We have set up a special a team that is looking at research here. So like I said, we will be able to finish this house even before the end of this financial year with the estimate of what the 4,000 are going to cost us. Thank you, Chair.
Now, I agree you will have a peaceful sleep now. But I hope that you did not open a can of worms because they were allowed to sleep now. Honorable Swart, Honorable Kner.
Chair, yes, I also hope the gentleman will have a peaceful sleep because I'm not having a peaceful sleep anymore. You know, if what I hear is correct, that 4,000 claims will amount to something like 70 billion and they're going to already claim 12 billion, I don't know where that money is going to come from. But what worries me is that, you know, he says the commissioners are now going to be able to negotiate, but that we've committed, somebody in that department committed this government to something like 84 billion or 85 billion, I don't know. And we've just got to have to pay. Because otherwise they're going to take us to court and win the cases, and we're going to have legal fees on top of that. So, you know, I don't know, there's something wrong. As Honorable McConnell said, we said another time bomb.
I think that we adopted the position, Honorable Sinre, that maybe we need to find time with the department just to get to understand the issues more. But clearly,
the department as well must understand what is it that this committee, not the portfolio committee, is looking for. Because this committee has a very narrow, what you call a mandate, to chase the expenditure. Unfortunately, in doing that, then we want to be satisfied with the answer. Sorry, Honourable.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think the department has realised that we, as a committee, appreciate the magnitude and scale of the work that lies ahead of them. But looking backwards and raising what Honourable Swartz had said, you know, a junior official contracting on behalf of government and committing government to expenditure that isn't budgeted for. And I don't know if those junior officials had delegated authority by the accounting officer in the department to commit government into contracts. That is an offer and acceptance is legally binding if you are in authority to offer on behalf of the institution that you represent. Now, I don't know how we can't defend that in court, because to me, Chair, you can't be held responsible for someone that hasn't got the authority to commit you into a contract. And if that is the case, how do we as government overcome that particular, in my opinion, irregularity of contracting? Thank you.
Maybe I missed the question at the beginning. I don't know if you have a specific particular example, but I'm sure they understood the question. Who's responding?
Chair, unfortunately, they had the authority. It was delegated to them, and this is what we're trying to review now in terms of the processes. Thank you, Chair.
So it was responded to.
Can go to this number, some courses, auxiliary and other services, which were the money was approved late. It depends since when was this application of the money submitted. I don't know if I'm right, because you said that it has to do with public works, and then it has to do with accommodation and the fact that the approval was late. Did you accumulate your leave it all towards the end of the year to be approved for its approval, or what happened? Because you really spent a lot of money there, despite the fact that the approvals came late. And that's why I wanted to know exactly what is this program for, auxiliary and other services, because of the expenditure that came towards the end of the fourth quarter.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm just a bit concerned about this delegation of authority to the junior officials, and I want to ask if any delegations are still going on. I know that's what says it's taken to the commissioners, but I'm very concerned because I was phoned by a farmer that said that someone is still busy negotiating with them prices, and I just want to check that this commitment or this who can negotiate was sent out to everyone concerned, and also was this communicated to the farmers' union so that they can tell the farmers not to negotiate, because we're going to go into more court cases if this is not communicated properly.
Mr. Kamete, you will come back to this. I know you did respond earlier, but again, maybe. Who is going to respond to the auxiliaries?
Thank you, Chair. This is the program that was used specifically to pay accommodation for all the buildings in the department, and including improvement in the buildings. So now when we do improvements in the building, it has to be registered with Public Works, and it goes through the process of Public Works for it to be approved. That's what was delayed. That's why the full capital works budget could not be spent. We have since moved this program not to be a separate program, but to include it under administration.
I think you get my point, Chair. Because if it's like the approval, that everything that doesn't wait until we see now is the end of the financial year. It happens with the other one here, which you said some the finalized due to structures only finalized in the later part of the financial year. So I wonder if you were, because this is a simple thing of paying accommodation, maintenance and all, the delay must have been somewhere, or you realize that you did not spend the money as it was supposed to be spent, and you had to spend it at the same time. Because this is a process, it's not an accident. Thank you, Chair. That's where I wanted clarity, because of the way, the type of the program it is. It didn't expect to be spent towards the end of the financial year only, which I think is also bad planning.
Honourable Member, the Capital Works project, we depend solely on Public Works. My apology. Yes, we depend on Public Works. We plan, we ask for money to say we want to do improvement in this building, and we get the money well in advance. But if Public Works don't finish their processes, we cannot spend that money. That's what causes the delay. Same with the structures. The structures here, the issue we are trying to address is that this is a new mandate. This is a new rural development. For structures to be in place, DPSA has to approve. Although we have the money available, we cannot start appointing people until DPSA has done the approval process and completed it.
I really want to close, but I'm not sure if you want us to close. You know, the response you get is, we went to Eastern Cape, met the Department of Social Development. No, they came here. We asked them, how many beneficiaries do you have when you applied for the budget? For how many people? I said, no, we apply for the budget, we go out and look for beneficiaries. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know if I got you correctly what you say. You ask for budgets, we're asking for so much, then thereafter you go to the Department of Public Administration and say, no, we want approval. So you come to ask for request, you want the budget before you get approval for appointment. Is that what you say to us?
Because we can't say, because Public Works says they don't build them in time. If we call Public Works, it will say they don't build them in.
You know, you remember, Honorable Member, Public Works came to us and said they get accused by members. What they want. And we supported Public Works. We support them. They say that all those works that you regard as capital, what they call a work, you must budget it, and it must go to them early, because they get accused that they don't do this, they don't do this, even for reasons that are really not their own, belong to the department. So we hear what you're saying, ma'am. But what were you saying? What was your response exactly?
The Chairperson, I'm trying to explain, but it appears that it's not. No, that's fine. On the public works one, I'm saying, with the capital works program, you put on a request to public works.
You're saying to us, you budgeted this 67 million beginning of the year.
Mm.
And at the beginning of the year, you said public works, we're looking for accommodation. Yes, money. Is that what you did?
When we look into accommodation, when you do a request with public works, you must prove that you have got money for it. And public works says, yes, it's fine, you have got money. We'll appoint our own engineers and the process will follow from public works. And only then will they claim the money from us.
That the issue is around the timing.
Yes.
That you don't have understanding.
Yes.
Mr. Kamele, the question that member states raised.
Thank you, Chair. I think we'll request that the honourable member give us the details of that, because we have instructed and agreed with the commissioners. Thank you, Chair. I was going to that maybe if we can have more information on that, it will assist, because we have agreed with the commissioners and given them a directive that they are the only ones who will be negotiating, and the delegations that were given to the junior officials have been withdrawn. In terms of communicating with the farmers union, we had a meeting with Guanalo in KZN, and we are looking also to be meeting with Agri SA, with Dow, and all of them. So we are communicating with them. Thank you, Chair.
No, I see the honourable member is happy with the response. I think that honourable Snell, you don't want to. A small question.
If there's a small question,
yeah, thank you. Hearing what the commissioner was saying about the delegated authority, I don't know exactly how we purchase commercial land in this country. If it's based on a balance sheet, or if it's based on the current owner having a sentimental attachment to that land, yes, I do know that there's a valuation system that's in place. But you know, if you've got a valuator and an official that are friendly with each other, what amount of money, what value for that 12 million, what kind of value, 12 billion, what kind of value are we getting in actual productive commercial land? What if that assessment was based on a balance sheet, what would we have paid for that land? I know you won't be able to answer me now, but it's something that concerns me deeply. You know? And I find it unbelievable that junior officials can indebt this government to the extent that they've indebted it.
Now, my understanding of the response is that that has been happening. You'll correct me. But now the department is as well reviewing that article. And you're saying those powers are being withdrawn to provincial commissioners and that's how I understood the response. You may correct me on that. But I would like honourable members just to reserve this question, this last question about 12 billion.
I think we really laboured on this quantification thing.
In other words, the question really is about the value for money.
I think that's the question that is being raised, that when these transactions are done, there should be what you call it, at least a value for money. The previous PG, I remember the terminology that Honorable Snell is using came from him, that there's a price for the land, that anyone can evaluate this blah, 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 but over and above, people say this land, my grandfather, great-grandfather lived on this land, that sentimental what to call it. So which is definitely difficult perhaps to quantify. So, honorable members in the department, I think that we have come to the end of this session. Mama Falme, I'm not sure if we were to say. No, let me not want to cut it through that, but to say it to yourselves. Look, I think that we have heard what you're saying. You try to respond to the question, but I'm sure yourselves, you do know that there are questions that were not satisfactory to members. The challenge that the committee has is that of compiling a report and say, this is a report, this is what we found out on this particular expenditure. Now, if you were to ask you that, write for us that report, what would you say to that report and say, now, you got satisfaction with the answers, with the questions. You have questions that are outstanding that you have undertaken to come back to us in writing. We have to compile this report by Monday. Yeah. Yeah. So we know that these things are in your fingertips. Would like you to respond. One of the questions that Mr. Masang, Ms. Mahalmel was not responded to, is a question that the figures that were given here and the figures that appear on the adjustment. Estimate national expenditure did not tally. Even when I gave you a clean book, it came back, return, Mr. Masang, your notes or trying to respond, you know. But even with the, when even taking out your adjustment for the establishment of the department, your 250, still those figures don't come together. Now, if you, on your adjustment estimate of national expenditure of 2009, you look at them, you look at your own, what you call a slide, and then we would like to have this explanation. Today is Wednesday. We think that by Friday we could have it, because that's when we'll be starting compiling the report. The issues, Mem Mahalme, when you go back, that clearly came up, you know, from members from time to time, they could find it difficult to move away. And Mr. Kamete says, no, he will sleep well now because he can quantify. But he told the committee that he can't quantify. You know, now the committee tomorrow will have it difficult to pass this budget because he will be bringing figures that he has not quantified. You know,
you really have to, what you call it, to look at this, what you call it, thing. Because this government introduced the medium-term expenditure framework so that even anybody, a member who comes in now will be able to say which department are we dealing with. And that member can look at what you receive this year, what you're likely to receive next year, and the other years. And as members of parliament, we believe that those estimates are not some fact, you know, are something that have been worked out by the department. Would really like you to look at that. Would also,
quantify the outstanding claims.
That's correct. Now we don't need the response on that now, but what we need the response on is these figures that don't tally. What is the right thing? Because Parliament passes this one. It passed the national, the what you call it, the adjustment. Now you go out, Miss. Really, excuse me, Miss Nisi, the lady next to you. Please accept my apology. You know, and the CFO, the whole team of finance, it has a mandate of we pass the budget today, tomorrow you go back to the department and say we're shifting this fund from here to here. We asked Mr. CFO, Pili. We asked the CFO, Ms. Mahalme. He says there were certain things that could not be quantified. They could not satisfy National Treasury. We asked, what were those things? Now, he said there were certain things when you wanted to shift the funds and what. He said certain things. I'm quoting him. But we said, what are those things? Tell us. What is it that you couldn't do? Well, PFMA, in Section 43 of PFMA, says an accounting officer's requirement between main divisions and within votes. An accounting officer for a department may utilize the saving in the amount appropriated under a main division within a vote towards the deferment of excess expenditure under another main division within the same vote, unless relevant treasury directs otherwise. However, that is 431. 434 says this section does not authorize utilization of a saving in A, an amount specifically and exclusively appropriated for a purpose mentioned under the main provision within a vote. B, an amount appropriated for a transfer to another institution. Now, we said in the freeway, you're traveling on what is called on freeway, clearly. In Europe, we hear that there are cars that travel at 300, there are freeways for that. But in South Africa, it's only 120, and everyone has got to conform to that. So, with these rules as well. C, an amount appropriated for capital expenditure in order to defray a current, what you call, expenditure. No. Your, what you call, a removal from shifting from a reform to restitution. We can understand this within what you call a capital. But please, we don't, what you call, if, I think the report that we need from you is to tell us when did this happen. And what the information that we're getting was that it happened around November, after the adjustment.
So, but it's supposed to be shown somewhere. And we would like Mr. Pili to give Mr. Pili to bring back a revised, what you call it, that that slide, where clearly it shows that you got this amount, and then this is how you, what you call it, you have moved it. But also we're saying to National Treasury, why does Parliament pass a budget when outside the budget people are going to be shifting around the, what you call it, and Parliament not being involved in that? Because we think that the budget, massive budget, must be credible. You can't budget today and tomorrow think that, oh, by the way, we're supposed to have done it like this. It should not be like that. That's why a member, our colleague here, my colleague, asked for planning. Do we plan these things? The Division of Revenue is very clear in terms of grants that if people are going to are planning projects to do in a particular time, by August, the department should be submitted to treasuries and back to, so that by the time the budget is finalized, everyone is clear as to exactly what is it that is going to happen. And my friend, ma'am, I'm sure you're not going to go next time to, not going to ask for budgets unless you know for current expenditure, unless you know how many people you want, for what position. I'm sure you're not going to do it unless you do that. Because now the question that you're raising is saying to us as members of Parliament, what is the meaning of this funded vacancy, this funded post? I mean, it's beginning to give us that question. What is the meaning of this funded post? Have they been quantified, Mr. Kameda, to use the term? Have they been quantified or what? Yeah. Those kind of what the kind of situation. But also the response that Mr. Maslamo gave, he says no. The vacancies, issue of vacancies and service delivery do not really, what you call it, relate. You said, Mr. Maslam. What did you say?
It was the relationship between the recruitment and the vacancy, not the service delivery. Maybe I didn't capture the question correct.
Okay. No, it's fine. That's correct. You will sleep well, I'm sure. But clearly, what we're saying is that as this committee, on behalf of Parliament, we support savings in the department. But we don't support savings at all costs. Because we think that National Treasury says to the department, what is it that you can do without? It doesn't say that you must cut on this and cut on this, because we will not deliver services if we do that on areas where we think that critical, what you call areas. We can't support that. We know that it's not what the National Treasury is saying. And please, just the last comment that we would like to make is that your report, for instance, says couldn't get accommodation here because of public works. You know, sorry, the committee would like to have this presentation timely before you come, you know, maybe 3 days or so before you come, so that where we see that
a certain department will be required to respond to certain things. We can ask them to come. Because the issue is not really to find fault with you. The issue is to say, how can we assist in ensuring that your work becomes easier with your colleagues? And sometimes you know that when you engage between yourselves, people tend to fight for tests. We are aware. We would like to, as you call it, to assist and intervene where you can.
Madam Liz and Mr.
That's right at the end, yes.
And Mr. Henrik, well, we don't want to ask for your expenditure for coming here because we didn't hear your voices, but we'd really like to thank you for coming, and hope that we will get I'm sure we have agreed that we'll get the responses by Friday. All the best. Meet you in December when you come for your rollover as Mr. Peel.
I hope you'll be kind when you come for a role. Thank you, Che.
Members, that's 1:00.
No, you're free to go, Mem Stay.
But there are members who are not here, but I think that the majority of us are here.
What do we do now? Do we leave this issue for the next meeting?
No, we can do it tomorrow. You know, that diploma. Yeah. No, we can do it tomorrow. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're not too much.